Hi, it's Doug Thomas with Office Casual. You might have seen my videos here on Channel 9. I work across the street, but I work at office.com, the help site for all things Office. And the videos I do are on several of the features and things that happen. Now, there's someone sitting next to me, as you can tell, because this is an extended edition, DVD extras, have you will, of Office Casual. We're going to look at the video I did for the Outlook Social Connector, and then Michael, who's the godfather of the Outlook Social Connector, is going to talk to us about the behind the scenes. So let's watch the video and then come back and we'll talk to Michael.
Hi, my name's Doug, and I'm going to show you why you should use the Outlook Social Connector. A lot of people think of Outlook as strictly business. Here's your email. Here are the things you're going to get done today. But over time, Outlook has changed as business has changed, especially with the internet. I mean, all those RSS feeds you get for the blogs you want to read, you do that in Outlook. You wanted to get your personal email accounts put in with Outlook? Yeah, you can do that. We even have an add-in to do all your Twitter in Outlook. I'll have links to the blog to several of those things if you're interested. But here's the one people have been talking about. It's the Outlook Social Connector. It's new for Outlook 2010, though you can get it for earlier versions of Outlook also. And what it does is it kind of combines the business side with the personal side of everyone we get an email from or a meeting request. We can see a snapshot of all the business dealings we've had with them, but we can also get their Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social media updates right in Outlook. So here I am in Outlook, and here's an email I've received from my manager, Jonathan. Down here at the bottom, this is the Outlook Social Connector. Let me expand it so you can see it. Here's all my recent interactions with Jonathan. Now, we're connected on our internal website. I'm also friends with him on Facebook and on LinkedIn, so let me add LinkedIn. And I can see all the recent activity I've had with him. So right at the top, here's a meeting request I got from him, and I can look at that. Here's an email I received. Here's something Jonathan did on Facebook about the World Cup I can look at. So all those interactions, even the ones you don't know about, like, here, I didn't know Jonathan had updated his profile on LinkedIn, so I can click on that, and I'll go right to that profile. Now, well, I'm not going to show you Jonathan's LinkedIn page. I mean, I want to keep my job, but you get the idea. Anything you click on here, you can go right to. Now, there's also separate tabs if you just want to look at certain things like just the attachments that he sent or just the meetings that he sent. I can do that. But that homepage, that combines both the business side and the personal side for the Outlook Social Connector. If you don't want to see all that stuff, simply click this arrow. And it hides down there. You don't have to really look at the social connector. So we'll have directions of how you get connected from your social sites to the Outlook Social Connector in the blog. All these different, and of course, more social networks will be added. Hi, sorry, quick word about privacy settings in social networks. Let's say you're in Facebook and your setting is that everyone can see everything. Okay. I get an email, and there's a whole bunch of people in the to column or the CC column, and you're one of those names. Now, if I click on that, even though I've never met you and you've never met me, if I click on it through the Outlook Social Connector, I can see all your Facebook stuff because it's set to everyone. So I get to see your status updates, those pictures from last weekend. So if you change your settings to friends only, then the Outlook Social Connector will mirror that. Just your friends will be able to see it on Outlook, not everyone. So people you haven't met or your potential next boss or whatever, they don't get to see any of that. So you go change your privacy settings, and I'm going to go change my clothes because this...
Find more at office.com. So, the Outlook Social Connector, one of the more popular things that has come around in Office in the last year, and I want to introduce, well, you do your introduction, Michael.
Great.
You are?
Michael Affronti.
And you work with?
Outlook.
And what team are you with?
Currently, I'm with a new team we formed for the next version of Office working on social networking, but for the last 6 years, I was on the Outlook product team.
Outlook Social Connector, we've talked about you kind of the godfather, but there's, I assume, more than just you working on it. Mm-hmm. But kind of take us through the steps of how the idea came to the product that, well, 250 million people can use now if they wanted to.
Sure, yeah. I think the Social Connector story is sort of a unique one for Office and especially for Outlook. You know, a lot of people think about Office as this big gray battleship of sort of, you know, software that
never
right?
Never,
yeah, that it's impossible to turn, and if the iceberg's right ahead, we can't avoid it. But a couple of years ago, as we were developing Office 2010, social networking sort of hit, right?
Sure.
Facebook went from 50 million users to 200 million. Mm-hmm. We sat down and we said, what can we do to sort of tactically bring in some of those social networking experiences to our customers, to the Outlook users, right? But it's one of those things where you throw that around in an organization like Office and folks go, what are you talking about? You're going to mess with productivity. Folks right. are going to be slower at their jobs. And we said, okay, well, let's prove that that's not the case. So the first couple of months of thinking about the social connector, we're actually working with MSR, some of the SharePoint teams, and developing prototypes inside of Microsoft to test out the functionality and actually show that folks were not actually less productive in Outlook when they had social networking information being presented to them.
So, and I'm going from the end user where I deal with it, is it allows me to find out things I don't know about people. Mm-hmm. It allows me to have a Facebook experience, which is more and more has a lot of business stuff into it.
Right.
But I don't have to leave Outlook. In fact, there's the old adage that you use 20% of your brain, you probably use 20% of Outlook. Mm-hmm. Before I worked at Microsoft, maybe I used 10% of my brain. No, 10% of Outlook.
Right.
But the social connector is right there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I assume, had to be, from the beginning, one of the things that it had to be instead of buried somewhere in some other ribbon or some other menu.
Absolutely right. I mean, the thing we talk about with our Outlook customers is there's actually about 110 people in the world who are paid to use Outlook. And for 6 years... you're not one of them, and I don't think most of our audience is, but for 6 years, I was one of those people because we actually built the program, mm-hmm. right? What we want for our customers is to sort of get in and out of the program, use it for their communication, yep. Interact with people, and then leave. If you're spending a majority of your time in Outlook and you're feeling unproductive, that's not a good thing. So when you talk about injecting social networking information, we played a lot with the designs to make sure that it was something that was interesting and passive, but didn't get in the way of reading your mail and triaging your calendar and doing the things that folks actually need to use the program for.
So you want to put something in Outlook mm-hmm. mid-release. Mm-hmm. That's easy to do. Everyone agrees with you?
No, it was nothing. We did it in like 6 months now. It actually was it was a big, big challenge, mm-hmm. right? And when we started the Outlook Social Connector project, it wasn't even the Outlook Social Connector. It was a set of the VPs in the company thinking we need to do something social. The My Site on our SharePoint software for 2010 has a bunch of rich activity feeds.
Right.
And we sort of looked at the fact that we were going to have those activity feeds and information about people, pictures, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Then we looked at the primary place that people spend time in office, which is Outlook, and we said they don't link up. So our first attempt at the social connector was really about connecting those two things. So for enterprise customers who have SharePoint, they would get a rich display of that social information from SharePoint inside of Outlook.
Which I'll put in, the things that if you haven't got into it that I use it for all the time is, if I looked at my manager, I can go and see all his activities, but also the emails, the attachments he sent me. So it's one of those things, instead of maybe I have a folder of email I keep for my manager, it's actually faster for me to find it in the social connector because I can just look just for attachments, which is really great, or just for emails or meetings I've had with him. So it's those right. types of things, if you haven't gotten to the connector, that you should use. Also, a public service announcement for Outlook. Michael doesn't know I'm going to say this. Turn off your email notifications if you want to get any work done. Just turn them off.
Yep.
And you'll be a happier person. Okay, now back to the interview. So you're talking about the whole SharePoint thing, but so was it just to build, now we have to put in Facebook in there? Is it just that because that is in some way social media, that's what we have to do? Or so the bridge from going let's do it to SharePoint to let's do it to Facebook. Talk mm-hmm. about that for a moment.
Sure. So like I was talking about a little bit earlier, one of the things that we had the fortunate opportunity for was to build a prototype of what we wanted to have for the social connector. We worked with an MSR team, and they actually built it, and we deployed it inside of Microsoft to about 1,000 people. And this piece of this add-in that we built for Outlook as the prototype looked like the social connector does now, and we basically started instrumenting all of the things that people did inside of them. Okay. What we discovered is that folks really loved the email and attachments, and then when we started injecting the social feeds from SharePoint, folks started to use those as well. And then we started playing around with, well, this Facebook thing is getting really popular. There's LinkedIn, professional mm-hmm. social network. They have public APIs for pulling the data in. What if we stuck some of those streams in the prototype and saw what happened? And much to our surprise, folks loved it internally, right? Reading, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, people like images. People like something that they normally don't see in an Outlook-type program.
Totally.
And so are you looking at, you're looking at clicks? You're looking, so how do you get that data? You say you sent it to 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. How did you know that that's what they were looking after? Mm-hmm. Is it just based on clicks?
clicks and more, right? And this is some of the cool stuff I think that we do with our software and as we develop it that really makes it unique to our, you know, to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. We don't just track clicks, you know, are people clicking on the different icons. We actually have software that tracks where they're hovering, because one of the things that the social connector does is passively presents you information, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. See, and again, my background in metrics, I'm always looking at clicks. So you're telling me we're now designing programs of where I'm putting the mouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even better, when we go in the usability lab, the coolest thing is the eye tracking stuff, where we would sit the user down and say, you know, how does this make you feel? And as they're saying it makes them feel good, they're hovering with their eyes over the activity items. And when they think it's kind of boring, it's when there's no, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn data there. So we're able to correlate that they actually feel better about the experience because they're looking at things that are there from the social networks.
Great. Yeah. And I think one of the arguments, and I can see why the argument that people would have, it's like, okay, don't bring Facebook into Outlook. Mm-hmm. But as we were just discussing a moment ago, a lot of social aspects, be it the birth of Twitter or what Facebook started off as, there's a movie out if you haven't seen it. And even the Outlook Social Connectors, the social stuff starts as this fun and games, but you send it out to an infinite amount of monkeys and an infinite amount of typewriters, as the saying goes, and business becomes part of that, becomes business because of that.
Oh, yeah.
What have you seen? The Outlook Connector's been out for a few months now. Mm-hmm. We have lots of people on it. I don't know what the numbers are. What are you seeing that people are using? What's surprising you now in looking at how people are actually using the connector versus how we think they're going to use it?
Sure. I'd say there's probably three big areas that sort of surprised us with the usage. Number one, folks really love the LinkedIn connections to Outlook, right? So downloading the LinkedIn connector allows you to see all this rich professional information about people, including pictures and names and, you know, companies.
Right.
So we've had a lot of enterprises tell us that they're actually thinking about deploying the LinkedIn connector inside their organization to supplement the information they get from their address books inside the company.
Right, because I mean, in the same way I looked at it is, you know, I know a lot of people about when they have a puppy because they see their picture on Facebook, but their professional background, I mean, how many people you work with that after a while you don't even, what's their resume? Like, oh, I didn't know you worked with XYZ, which is what LinkedIn does really well. Okay, so that's one.
Okay, number two, the most common thing that we hear from people that install the Facebook connector is, oh my God, that's what I look like to my coworkers, because someone will tell them, did you know that that picture from that party last weekend shows up in Outlook when you email me? So that's my public service announcement, which is go check your Facebook privacy settings, right? For a lot of users that left their Facebook settings as the default when they created their account, they don't realize that much of their profile is public.
Right.
And the way the social connector works is it's exactly what you would see if you went to that person's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But what most people don't realize is that even if a coworker has never been to your page, they can still see it if they went there.
Right. Well, with the Outlook Social Connector, a lot of people realize that they can. A lot of people see my stuff. In fact, I've had a couple emails with folks higher up by them. By the way, do you know that this can be seen by everybody? But that means not only the Outlook Social Connector picks up, a search engine could pick it up.
Absolutely.
And if you search for a person's name, you could find those photos of that party on Saturday night, which I think is a kind of a joke when we deal with that. But if you have a teenage daughter like I do and other things like that, it's like the person who you're going for the interview tomorrow could be able to see that stuff very easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's very different, too, inside of Microsoft. You know, we're a large company where a lot of our communication happens inside the company. Mm-hmm. But for small businesses and folks that are interacting with people from different companies, you can imagine, you know, you're talking to a prospective new client and, like, all this non-work-appropriate content comes up there because their profile is completely public. Right.
And we've seen some stats about how recruiters at Microsoft and other companies, a recruiter, a main part of their job now, not a main part, but a good chunk of their job when they look at people is looking at what they can find out about folks, about those things. So privacy settings in Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a 1-2, and what was the third one?
Third one. Enterprises love the social connector, not because of Facebook, not because of LinkedIn, but because we have a platform, right? And this speaks a bunch to what happened during the development of the social connector, right?
Okay.
So I'll rewind. As I was talking about the MySite connectivity, the social connector in its first version, like inside of Microsoft, had a hardwired connection to SharePoint.
Okay.
And we said, well, that's great. And then we thought about, well, all this external social networking stuff is happening, LinkedIn, Facebook. How are we going to let connections get built to those networks? And there's, you know, literally hundreds of social networks around the world for different demographics that potentially would benefit from having connections into the social connector. So we took that hardwired connection to MySite out, and then we turned the social connector into a platform. And this is something that's available on MSDN now, which is the social connector, basically the SDK. And that lets anybody in the world build a connection module to any social network or internal enterprise activity source. And that was our surprise, is enterprises came to us and said, we've got like custom databases that have call activity, and you know, for bankers it was like, you know, the last time they communicated with a client that called them up. Now they could build a connection to that database and plumb it through the social connector. So you get a mail from a customer, and you see your internal company data coming from your database has shown up.
And you know, unlike going through a data sheet or something like that, it's also going to be presented a little more cleanly. That I think you can, again, like if you've been on the social connector, the ease of discoverability.
Yep.
That'd be a great thing. So any company, enterprise can do this with this at MSDN.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely throw the link in a couple different places on that. Anything else about the social connect that we haven't talked about, or you're like, Doug, you haven't asked about anything like that? Nothing?
Let's see. Well, you mentioned that it's available for both Outlook 2003 and 2007 as an add-in, right? And I can mention that, you know, if folks haven't picked up on it, is also a unique thing that we did. We've never before in Outlook shipped, you know, a piece of connectivity for the application that ships in the 2010 or the new application and also is available for free for our existing clients. We did that because social networking is happening kind of right now, you know, and we didn't want folks to have to wait to get 2010 to experience some of the goodness, which is seeing your social networking activity in the program.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to end on that warm fuzzy about that we've done that. Mm-hmm. So Outlook Social Connector, if you have Outlook 2003, Outlook, or is it 2007, or is it 2007
or 10,
2010.
Yeah.
You can get the downloads, and there's another video I did because it's a little tricky of a download. You have to download the connector, and then for each social provider, you need to also make a second download. So it's a little tricky on that, and then in Outlook 2010, it's built in, and you'll get all the updates on that. Well, terrific.
Rockin'.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening in on this extended edition of Office Casual. You can play the theme music now.